Two Guys Way In podcast. Mitchell Silty, Paul Ramo here once again. Episode number what, Mitchell?
Number 6 of their podcast, sponsored by PK Egan's of Canby, Minnesota.
That's right. Our favorite pizza place, right?
Absolutely. Great spot.
Love PK Egan's and Canby. I think a lot of people do. Great pizza, great salad bar, great everything.
Yep, love it all.
Good service, great service too.
Yep, really great service.
Almost said good service, but it's great service.
Yeah, it is great service.
All right, hey, we have a lot to talk about on Two Men Weigh In podcast once again, starting with high school, college, pros. We're going to touch it all and this past week's happenings and what's coming up and what we're going to start with. What are you going to pick
let's,
with?
Let's go right into court stormings real quick.
Court storming. That's a big subject this past week.
Yep.
Why is that?
Another incident in college basketball. This past Saturday, the 24th, Duke was playing at Wake Forest in men's basketball, and Wake Forest upset Duke, who was ranked 8th at the time, 83-79, prompting a court storming. And one of Duke's players, Kyle Filipowski, got ran into by one of the fans from Georgia Tech, and he had to limp off. And so now everyone's coming out saying that court stormings need to stop.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think it will happen, not because I think court stormings should go on, but more so when you have that many people that want to storm a court,
you're not going to hold them back. No.
Hold them back, especially if they've been drinking.
Store storming has been going on forever. I don't know what the big deal is. Two high-profile athletes, slightly get injured. You never want to see that, of course.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, it's a big topic, and we're going to stop it? No. Just no.
Yep.
It's a celebration. Let Wake Forest celebrate. Yep. Remember when the Gopher football team won, who they beat, Penn State, a couple years ago at home?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the place was just packed. The field just was rushed. Yep. Have you ever stormed a court?
Let's see.
Or a field?
There was one. I think I remember a couple of times. We did both, actually. When I was in high school, we were playing Dawson Boyd, and we threw a touchdown pass and with about a couple seconds left in the game, and we ended up winning it, and we stormed the field. The students did. I mean, it wasn't like
that was at Lock.
Yep,
Lock.
That was at Lac Apparel.
Yep.
And then the other one was...
I remember that one. That was a good one. Good one.
That was a good game. And then the other time I remember... I remember a couple times in basketball. One was for a girls basketball game. We stormed the court for that one. I don't remember who was playing, but the other time I distinctly remember was, I think it was my junior year. We were playing Minnesota for the Camden Conference Championship game at Lac Apparel. And we were, I think, 17-10 at the time, and Minnesota was, I think, 24-1 or 24-2.
Okay.
And we were playing at Lac Apparel, and a classmate of mine his name was Austin Bond. He had a floater with 2 seconds left or his time expired, and Lac Apparel won 74-72, I think.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I remember that one too. I remember all those that you meant. So you did. You have been doing some court storming.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
As a broadcaster, I remember leaving the press box immediately after a game to do the post game on the field, and actually Dylan Erickson, Trevor Bungarden, they beat Montevideo in Montevideo and took the goose call away from Montevideo, and they were running around on the field with this big goose call. That was a trophy thing they used to play for.
Was that back when Lac Apparel and Montevideo played each other in football?
I'll say I stormed the field as a broadcaster.
That's good.
And did interviews on the field and the post-game show. I always remember that. That was a big deal. Got a great picture of it, by the way. So, yeah, court storming.
Yep, court stormings. There we go.
So you think it should continue then?
Not necessarily that I think it should continue. I just think it's going to be real hard for universities to prevent it from happening. I mean, I'm a fan of court stormings. I mean, you think about it. Two instances happened this year, one with Caitlin Clark that we talked about earlier, and then this most recent one with Kyle Filipowski. And other than those two, I really don't remember a time when
someone got hurt. Right.
I mean, obviously, there were going to be player and fan interactions.
Right.
But, I mean...
I remember this is kind of sad, up at the University of Minnesota-Morris a number of years ago, they stormed the football field and they tore the goalposts down and someone died.
Yep.
I don't know if you're too young to remember that maybe, but that was pretty sad. But yeah, you know, a lot of people, it happens a lot in football, I think, more than basketball, maybe. I don't know. You know, where they tear goalposts down. Now they got the guards, security guards taking care of the goalposts. So nobody takes the goalposts down. But
yep. And some of the conferences have already put in their rules that you can't have court stormings. And if you do have court stormings, you're going to pay the other team.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yep.
That's recently?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago when they were originally started talking about getting rid of them. I want to say it's the SEC has a rule that if you storm a court, you have to pay the opposing team $100,000.
Oh, wow.
So I think that was talked about earlier this year. LSU beat Kentucky in boys basketball. And I think LSU had to pay Kentucky $100,000 or got fined for $100,000 in that game because they stormed the court.
Wow. All right. Enough on that subject, but we're going to still storm the court.
Yep.
I think. Yep. Hope no one gets hurt.
Yep. Got to be
all
safe.
Right. Let's talk high school sports. What's on tap for high school sports, Mitchell?
Let's talk real recent state wrestling going on, even as recording of this podcast. Team United wrestled this morning at 9 o'clock versus Casson Manorville. And they got off to a hot start versus Casson Manorville, but they struggled a little bit down the stretch, and they ended up losing in a hard-fought match 35-24. And then that sent Team United to the consolation bracket, and they beat
Dilworth Linden Felton,
yep. And that score was
46-12, was it?
It just happened.
It just was complete because they were recording this here, so.
I believe it was four. I think I heard you say 46-12.
Yep.
So they won in the consolation, and now they'll play in the consolation championship game versus
Watertown Mayor.
Watertown Mayor.
Yeah,
it's at 5 o'clock this evening.
Yep.
And so Team United got not the result they wanted, but still have a chance to win the consolation bracket tonight. And
then individual start. Friday and Saturday, got a lot of individuals in team wrestling, six of them, five from Canby and two from Mineola. Dick Newman and Danny Lee will be falling down at the Extra Energy Center this Friday and Saturday.
Yep, and good luck to all those wrestlers competing. Right. Hope nothing but the best for them.
Yep, that's right. It's a big event there at the XL Energy Center. I want to touch on high school sports. This is maybe 2 weeks ago. It might be old news, but I find it fascinating. Girls basketball section game, Ortonville played Ashby. Both teams hadn't won a game all season long. They both were 0-24 going into that section play.
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before. And Ortonville beat Ashby in double overtime.
Yep, double overtime. Yep. I think the score was 56-53 in Ortonville's favor.
Isn't that something?
That's a great basketball game.
Trojans celebrating after that game, I bet, huh?
Yep, a lot of celebrating going on there.
But I don't think I've ever seen two 0-24 teams play each other before. But exciting win for Ortonville. That's great.
Yep.
So just wanted to mention that was pretty cool. And then the other night, we were in Dawson with the Blackjack Boys team for the Camden Conference Boys Championship.
Yep, they were playing Mineola that night, and they won 58-53 at home.
And Blackjacks won, yeah.
Yep, the Blackjacks won. And they go back-to-back as Camden Conference champions. They upset Russell Tyler Ruthden last year. And that was Russell's only loss that year as they went on to win state and single A, correct?
That's right. That's correct.
Yep. I think the score last year was 72-70, and that was in Tyler, too.
Yeah, and it was an overtime.
Yep. Okay. So
good. Back-to-back. Conference champions for Coach Corey Larson and the Blackjacks.
And now Dawson can go into next year with an 18-game home winning streak.
What's that?
The Dawson Boyd went 10-0 this year at home, including the conference championship game. And they had won seven or eight games in a row to end last year at home. And so they can start next season with an 18-game win streak on their home floor.
Oh, wow. Cool. Good.
And that Dawson team isn't going to lose anyone.
No, they're not a senior on the team. Of course, the other night against Mineota, Brayson Boyk had 22 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Yamlin and Gunner, Drew Yamlin, Gunner Liebel, Stratmon. Yeah, not a senior on that team. That's exciting.
Yep, Dawson fans got a lot to be excited about going into the playoffs this year and then as a season next year.
That's right. And you want to be playing your best basketball when you approach sections. So, of course, sections start today for the play-in games, or Thursday. And we're recording this on Thursday. Yep. And then Saturday is Super Saturday over in Montevideo.
Yep, the 2 play-in games that are happening tonight on the north side of Section 3A. We have Wabasso hosting Lakeview. Wabasso and Lakeview both are 5-21. And then on the other side, we have RCW hosting Yellow Medicine East. RCW 6-18, Yellow Medicine East 3-20. The winner of the Wabasso-Lakeview game will play Dawson first for the first game on Saturday in Montevideo. And then the winner of the RCW Yellow Medicine East game will play McRae in the third game at Montevideo on Saturday.
Okay. Good.
And the other matchups this Saturday, so Dawson will play the winner of the play-in game, McRae will play the winner of a play-in game, and then Canby, the 5 seed at 15-10, will play the 4 seed, Mineota, who's 20-7. And then the last matchup on Saturday, the 6 seed Lacqui Valley Eagles at 10-16 will play Central Minnesota Christian, who comes in with a 16-10 record.
All right, and that's boys basketball. Of course, Section 3A girls basketball, that continues too, doesn't it, Mitchell?
Yep, on March 1st, which is this Friday tomorrow at the time of recording, Mineota, who's 25-3 currently on the year, will play Lakeview, comes in at 17-10. That's the first game in Montevideo. That starts at 6 o'clock. And then the second game in Montevideo, Central Minnesota Christian versus McRae. And Central Minnesota Christian, the 2 seed, McRae the 3 seed, Mineota was the 1 seed, and then Lakeview was the 4 seed. Central Minnesota Christian comes in at 17-8, and McRae also comes in at 17-8. So those are your 2 games on Friday night.
All right. A lot of high school sports coming up, huh?
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Exciting time of year, playoff basketball.
Yep.
And the men's, or the college basketball is coming down to the final regular season games before conference tournaments start up, so...
All right, let's talk college sports. What are you going to start out with, the Gophers or what?
Yep, the Gophers. They've only got 2 weeks left of the regular season in college basketball. They didn't show up versus Nebraska on Sunday.
Lowest points this year, I think, 55, wasn't it?
Yep, 55, and I think Nebraska, did they drop 80-something on us in that game?
Yep.
So that was a tough loss. And then last night, they almost scored 100 versus Illinois. I think they did lose to Illinois. I think the score was 105-97. So offense didn't have any trouble in their last game, but the defense struggled mightily. And with that, I almost think the Gophers have to win out in order for them to and then have a good showing in their conference tournament if they want to have a shot of making the NCAA tournament. And then in women's basketball, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes played the Gophers women's team last night. It was a tough showing for the...
Sellout.
It was a sellout. Everyone wanted to see Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And the final score was 108-60, I believe.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter because the barn sold out. And
a lot of area people were at that game. It surprised me. A lot of my friends on social media were there posting pictures. And Caitlin Clark is just, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this from an athlete.
Nope. She's had a major impact on the women's side of things for basketball. And she was breaking records again last night versus the Gophers. She has scored 3,650 career points. And she passed Lynette Woodard, who played at Kansas. And she had the record at 3,649 points. And this is for all of major college women's basketball. You heard us talk about Caitlin breaking Kelsey Plum's record for NCAA Division I women's basketball. Lynette Woodard played at Kansas back when women's basketball was governed by the AIAW, and that was before women's basketball was under the NCAA. And so she now holds, I believe, every major scoring record for women's basketball. And she's 18 points shy of passing Pete Maravich.
One of my favorite players, Pete Maravich.
Yep.
Do you remember him?
I don't think he was a little bit early for me, but yep. I know he played. I know his nickname, Pistol Pete.
Pete.
I think he LSU. Played for Utah, right?
Yeah, I played for a couple of NBA teams, but he is in college at LSU, and he was nobody like him at all.
I think he set his record in 3 years?
Yep.
Because I think that was what was so shocking was he set the record, but he didn't even stay in college for all 4 years.
Yeah, he was absolutely amazing basketball player. Fun to watch. They made a movie about him. I can't remember what the movie was right now, but we'll get that next time. I'll get that movie out there because it's really cool to watch about him and his dad. His dad was a longtime high school coach and stuff like that, and it'll be fun. Fun to watch that movie.
Yep, and then so with that, Caitlin can hold every scoring record or break both men's and women's NCAA scoring records this season for points.
Yeah, what she's done for women's sports in the last 2 years is absolutely amazing, and it's fun to watch, and it's just fun to witness that. And if you were at the barn the other night, I know some of my friends were. They really got a treat there, didn't they?
Yep, that would have been fun to watch, and she's just an exciting player to watch.
Okay. All right. That's basketball. What's next?
Yep. All right, we'll touch on pro sports real quick. Just a quick note for the Minnesota Twins. They traded for Manuel Margot, I believe, from the Dodgers.
Okay. Ooh, he's pretty good, though, isn't he?
Yep. We traded for him so we could have center field depth behind Byron Buxton.
Okay.
In case of injury to him this year. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But, yeah, it sounds like Twins got another solid player in their lineup now.
Do you get excited about Twins baseball in the spring? Are you a baseball guy?
I keep up with them. I mean, obviously, I want them to do well.
Yep.
I mean, I'm a big sports guy, so anytime I can see Minnesota sports do well, I'm always a fan. But, yeah, the Twins this year so far in spring training are, at the time of recording, they're 1-3-1. And right now they're playing the Atlanta Braves today. And so the Twins having a little bit of a rough start to begin spring training games for them. But
yeah, but you never go by wins and losses in spring training, do you?
No. That's just...
Or the NFL preseason
records
don't mean nothing, I don't think. But yeah, I kind of get excited about Twins baseball in the spring.
Yep.
Have you ever been down to Fort Myers?
I have not been.
Me neither. Should make a trip before.
Yep. I think that would be fun to go see them.
Yep. Okay.
Spring training.
Twins should have a good team this year, though. Better than last year, I think.
Yep. Hopefully.
Yep.
Hopefully. I think they have a good shot at going back-to-back in the AL Central, and hopefully they can build on that.
Okay.
And quick notes for the Vikings. They hired Josh McCown as the QB coach.
That shocked me. That surprised me.
Yep, I was...
I thought he was still quarterbacking.
Yeah, I thought he was still quarterbacking. I thought he was hired as a QB coach elsewhere, so...
Okay.
It's an interesting hire for the Vikings. He has connections with Drake May. He was his high school... He was on the high school coaching staff.
Who's Drake May?
Drake May was the quarterback for the University of North Carolina this past season. He's top draft prospect. They got him projected to be one of the top three quarterbacks taken in the draft and one of the top three picks overall. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for the Vikings as draft approaches. And Then the NFL Players Association do their league survey for the players, and the Vikings ranked second in the league behind the Miami Dolphins for workplace conditions. And Kevin O'Connell, the head coach for the Vikings, received A-plus grade from his players, which is highest of any coach this season. So,
okay. Wow. A lot of stuff happening on the Vikings during the offseason. The draft is coming up, what, in April?
Yep, end of April.
All right. Who are they going to draft? What position should they go for?
The latest mock drafts I've looked at, it said the Vikings would either take a edge rusher at 11, or there's potential they might trade up and see if they can get QB of the future. It'll be interesting to see how they go, if they sign Kirk Cousins. Or
I always say, always draft the best offensive lineman available. You got to have an offensive line that can block and pass block before anything else.
Yep,
that's where it starts.
That was a struggle of the Vikings this past season, so we'll see.
That's why I should run the Vikings.
Yep.
So, okay, anything else? Wrapping her up here for another Two Guys Weigh In podcast?
Yep, I think that'll cover everything today.
All right. Okay, as we're going to end, we're going to get to know Mitchell a little better and get to know me a little better as we close the podcast. I think we'll make this a thing. How about that, Mitchell?
That sounds good.
I'm going to ask you a question, and then you can ask me a question, okay?
All right.
All right. Here we go. If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, Mitchell.
Oh, boy.
Just one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, geez. One meal for the rest of my life.
One meal for the rest of your life. No, I think that means every time, all the time?
Yep.
All right. All the time. One meal.
I got to go. I think
be
I might
smart
have to.
Now.
I think I might have to do grill out a burger and brats with potato salad and chips and all that good stuff.
On the grill?
Yep, on the grill.
Ooh,
it's hard for me to turn that down.
Every meal for the rest of your life.
Yep, it would be, I mean.
That's good, though. I can't disagree with that. I like that. I like that. I love grilled brats, grilled hamburgers, grilled steak, and with a potato salad or coleslaw, watermelon. That's a great meal in the summertime for sure. All right, so that's we're getting to know Mitch a little bit better there. So good choice on that. I will agree. Okay.
All right, now for your question, Paul. What is your biggest fear?
Oh, my biggest fear. My biggest fear. Fear. I'm not really scared of anything. Like spiders or something, my biggest fear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that when I pass, I'm worried about my wife. How about that? So I'm being sentimental here.
Yeah.
So if I would die, make sure my wife's taken care of and that kind of thing. So
yep, that's a smart
man.
Answer.
We're ending on a serious note here, Mitchell.
Yep, we got real serious there at the end. So,
but that's what I fear. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to stay alive as long as I can. So, all right, good job. Another one, huh?
Yep, episode number 6 of the Two Guys Weigh In podcast, sponsored by PK Egan's of Canby, Minnesota.